And now we're saying, yes, Pastor Jeff. All right, come on up.
Hello!
Hi.
Merry Christmas! So, today is about dealing with things called guilt and or bitterness. We're dealing with the issue of forgiveness. Now, a lot of material I have, I'm taking out of this book. The next slide, please. And it's called Growing in Christ. It's a 13-week study. The first five chapters are about assurance of salvation. And that's where all the assurance titles come from. The next six chapters are about growing in Christ. And I would highly recommend it. It's not an in-depth Bible study. In fact, it's very simple. It says, read this verse. What about this? How are you applying this? That's really what it's about. So I highly recommend it to you as we go through this, especially if you want to study some things that I've already talked about. Next week, we're going to be talking about guidance, when you need wisdom about what to do next. That'll be next week with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we share today about assurance of forgiveness, of seeing how you have promised to forgive, and what that means for us, and how we can be actually set free from the bondages of the past, the things, the traumas, the things that we hold on to that are just destroying us. Father, give us wisdom, talk to us in just amazing ways. Thank you for your grace and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. So don't raise hands. Don't. I don't want to know. You got something that you did in life and you're still struggling with the fact that that happened, and you're holding yourself accountable and you're holding yourself guilty, and it just is robbing you of peace. And it almost comes under the heading, God can't forgive what I've done. It's that bad. Or maybe that you're just a young believer and nobody's ever really taught you about how forgiveness works. Well, we're going to cover that today. You could also be in relationship to somebody else. Somebody just says a name and you just get mad. Or it's just overwhelming upset inside of you because of things that happened or what that person did, and how you're struggling with it. That all comes under the heading when we talk about forgiveness. And the neat thing is, God's word is just so plain about how he wants us to deal with it. Okay? You don't have to guess. It's really simple. God wants you to live at peace. God wants you to experience his peace. So therefore, we just got to begin living life God's way and not the way we were raised or influenced by the world. Make sense? So let's jump into that, and our key verse is 1 John 1:9. If you don't know this verse, I highly recommend that you memorize it. I'm reading it to you in the NLT, and I memorized it in New American Standard, tried again in New English Standard, and said, oh, the heck with it, but I'm not going to memorize it in this one. So if I say different words than I have printed up there, that's because I memorized it one way, and I'm reading it a different. Anyway, but if we confess, what does the word confess mean? If we confess, huh?
Tell the truth.
Okay, that would be, yeah, but now you're telling the truth to who? About who? So to confess is to say what really happened and to take responsibility for it. Okay, so if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just. Might want to circle those two words, faithful, just. We're going to come back to it. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, or other translations say unrighteousness. So we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does God want you to do anytime that you sin? What does God want you to do? Say, deal with it. Okay? Deal with it. That's the thing that always bothered me about other religions, that you know, they have that confessional thing going on, and you know, you show up whenever you show up, you know, you're supposed to go do that confessional thing. And God's saying, why wait? Do it now. You don't have to deal with your sin and your junk any longer than you want to. Now, if you enjoy being miserable, then, okay, I understand. But God says, look, this is my way. Now, let's jump in. So if we confess our sins, God's faithful, just, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. So when he forgives, how is God described in this verse? Okay, now that's important. Faithful means you can always count on him to forgive you if you ask. You can always count on him. Why? Because God is faithful to his promises, and this is a promise of God. Okay? So he's faithful, but he's also what?
Just.
What does, where do we get this word just from? Justice system, yes. So in other words, God can forgive you because in the great court of heaven, where the great accuser stands and says, look at Jack and all he's done, and the courtroom said, yes, I know. Okay? Yes, I know. But he's mine. But he's mine, and I have forgiven him, and any debt he owes to me has been paid. We'll come back to that. So not only is God faithful to judge you, there is forgive you, but there's absolutely no reason in the world, in all of creation, in all of heaven, there's no reason why God can't forgive you. All right? No, the only reason would be is if you refuse to love Jesus. We'll talk about that as we go on. And then not only is he faithful and just to forgive, but he also cleanses us from our sin. That word cleanse is really amazing. Oh, when I was in college, I had to take an art class. Well, I'm not artsy at all. Claudish maybe, but not artsy. So instead of doing drawing stuff or that kind of thing, I took a pottery class. And so one of our assignments was to make, you know, a cup. And I made a caveman cup. The walls were like that thick and a big old honking handle. And it was the grossest looking thing, but it was my cup. I made it. So in my first church, when I was a very, very young pastor, I don't want you. What are you doing? I even put my phone on silence. In my first church, I had that cup there, and my secretary would make coffee for us, and I'd go in there and I'd pour in coffee, and I'd sit there and I'd be drinking my coffee and then dump it out when it's cold and get more, you know, and I would do that week after week after week. And one day I was looking at my coffee. Did you know that if you don't wash the cup, there were flakes. There were flakes on top of my coffee. And hey, some of your souls are just like that. Because it hasn't been washed. And I mean, it's just as gross, and if not more gross. So when he says he's faithful and just to forgive, but also to cleanse the inside of the cup, or our souls, if you will. It's part of this healing process. And so, I mean, 1 John 1:9 is just a very, very key verse in Scripture about what God wants to do in your life to bring forgiveness and healing into you. So if you're struggling with anything today and you don't even know how God could ever forgive you, I mean, we're going to begin right here. And I want you to hear is God not only wants to forgive you, God has provided a way to forgive you. You just need to act. You just need to act. Now, as we talk about forgiveness, what we're going to discover is that the quality of my relationship with my Heavenly Father depends upon me being honest with Him and honest with myself. Okay? So you can't go into this confession thing unless you're really willing to admit, hey, I blew it. I do a lot of counseling. And one of the things that I've noticed that is common in relationships is somebody in the relationship, and sometimes both parties in the relationship, they sort of want to minimize their offenses and they want to maximize their partner's offenses. You ever been in that kind of relationship? Don't recommend it. Don't recommend it. Because when you minimize what you have done wrong, not only are you sinning against your partner, but you're sinning against God. You can't move forward unless you're honest with yourself and honest with God about your behavior. And you say, but all they ever do is complain about me. Well, maybe you ought to take that complaint seriously. Just maybe. Well, I would never make that person happy. Well, I would be more concerned about whether or not you're making God happy. Well, of course God's happy with me. Who wouldn't be happy with me? Yeah? Are you being that honest with yourself? Are you having those kinds of talks with God about you and the things that he wants to do in your life? How God wants to set you free? I think what the statement from your hurts, your hang-ups, and your habits, right? He wants to set you free, but he can't do that till you get honest. You start dealing with your stuff. 1 John 1, 8, and 10. So 9's right in the middle of it. So this is what becomes before and after. If we claim we have no sin, now there's wrongdoing, things that we do that are not only against God's word, what the Bible says to do and don't do, but against others and against God, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living the truth. Oh, and how we like to deceive ourselves. If we claim that we have not sinned, we are calling God, a liar, and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Because the more that you get into the word wants to actually illuminate the areas in your life that you need to be adjusting, changing for God. There are things that you need to stop doing, and there's things that you need to pick up and start doing. By the way, I've been a Christian for quite a while now, and you know something? That list has never gotten any shorter. Because the more I work on it, the more he brings to light. I'm saying, God, can I have a break? And he says, when you get it right. So what attitudes, if I need to be confessing sin, and I need to be dealing with my stuff, what attitudes do I need to have that would help me actually be able to start dealing with sin in me and in my relationships? I'll give you a couple of verses. First of all, Psalms 139. I love Psalms 139, 23 through 24. The psalmist says at the very end of this long list of just how neat God is and all the things that God knows about you, he ends it up by saying, search me, O God. You ever pray that? Hey, God, would you just take an honest look at what's going on in my life? Turn a spotlight on the areas that I'm trying to hide. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Put me on trial. Find the quality of my faith, the quality of my walk with you. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me on the long path of everlasting life. Now, the words there that I have highlighted in bold are all imperatives in the Hebrew language. Now, it's not commanding God, it's pleading to God. God, I need you to search me. God, I need you to know me. I need you to test me. I need you to know the anxiousness that I'm struggling with in my life. And I need you to point out anything that offends you and then lead me. God, I want that kind of relationship with you. A sense of humility that says, hey, God, whatever you've got to do in me, let's get it done. Psalms 38:18 says, but I confess my sins. And I am deeply sorry for what I have done. Ever been around somebody who you know, you say, hey, you realize what you just did? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, let's go on. And they just sort of blew you off? Does that not upset you? How often do you blow off God when the Spirit of God points out something? Oh, come on, God, it's not that bad. You see, when it's like that, then I'm not really, you see, that's really showing a weakness in me that I need to deal with of humbling my heart before God. But I confess my sins, he says, and I'm deeply sorrowful. In the Hebrew language, that word sorry, it means to be anxious over, to be troubled by what it is that I did. Can you have these kinds of attitudes within you? What kind of attitude do you have about your sin? Is it something, well, you know, all everybody does is point out all the things that I do wrong and nobody's really happy with me, least of all God, and you know, and what you've done is you've made it all about you. Now, you may have problems with other relationships, okay, and that happens, and that's something to be worked out. But what happens when you get that kind of attitude is it interferes with your relationship with God. You've got to be honest with him, and you've got to be honest with yourself. And when you get defensive and you start pushing away other comments and you're not really looking at what's going on in you, what happens is you get a hardened heart, and you can't understand why you have all these really negative feelings and attitudes going on in your life. And God so much wants to set you free from them. Now, notice, as we walk through these passages, that it's not enough to confess my sin, but I actually must also turn away from them. Now, let me give you some verses to work on. Proverbs 28. People who conceal their sins will not prosper. If they confess and turn from them, they will receive what? Okay, so choices. If I conceal, I will not be living the abundant life in Christ. I'm actually setting up a sort of a dead end kind of spiritual life. But if I agree with God, yeah, I got to deal with these, God. And I begin the process of turning away from them. The word repent actually means to turn. Okay? It means you're going one way in your life, and God says, stop that. Okay. Now, some people just stop. But if you don't replace the action that you're doing wrong, guess what you're going to do? Keep on going in it. So, to repent means I recognize I did something wrong, that this particular behavior is not right, and so now I turn away from it, and I start walking with new behavior. Behavior that actually glorifies God, that lifts up other people and builds other people up. That is so difficult for us in our world because there's so many negative influences. We always want to blame somebody else for what's happened in our life. And if you live that way, you will always be captive to the things of the world. Remember, God wants to set you free. To do that, you have to be honest about your behavior between you and God and between you and other people. Always, this relationship here is always drastically impacted upon my relationships here. Does that make sense to you? Romans 2. Or do not presume upon the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience. Or do you presume on the riches and kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Why does God work with us? Why is God willing to take us from when we didn't know nothing and we weren't living the right kind of life, and as we begin, you know, making those turns and becoming a new person, why is God so patient with us? Because he absolutely loves you. Okay? Because he wants to see you victorious. Because he wants you to have good relationships. Because he wants you to become strong and mighty in Christ so that you can defeat Satan in your life. God is on your side. He's not there to rain on your parade or crush you like a bug. He wants to rub your sins out in the blood of Christ. This is why just telling God, oh God, I'm sorry, is not good enough. We need to join with the Holy Spirit to do something about my behaviors. All right? And the thing is, when you're a new Christian, it's really nice because he begins with newbie kinds of things. He begins with you gently. He begins saying, okay, you got to deal with this stuff first so we can move on. And then as you begin older in Christ and growing in Christ, you say, okay, now you got to deal with this one. You say, but God, I don't know if I want to deal with that one. He says, yeah, I know, but let's start dealing with it. Now, my recommendation is never say no to God. Can I just help you with that? Now, I've learned how to deal with that. Learn how to deal with it. Because God will always point out something to you that you eventually will go, ah! And you just so badly want to say, no, God, not that one. And I've learned that if you do that, that things go really bad for you. So, well, I've got a way of dealing with it. You ready? I'm going to give you wisdom. Wisdom from Jack Bracey. I say, okay, God, but. Now, always worry about a but. You've got to help me do it because I don't see any way of me getting it done. And then I got to do more immersion in the Word. I got to spend more time with God. So because what I need then is for God to change my attitude about my behavior. I need Him to do things in me that I don't have the power to do. And so if you say no, you shut that whole process off. What I want you to say is yes and say, but God, I need you because I don't know how to do it. And that makes sense. And so therefore, you just got to allow yourself to grow through it and for God just to do amazing things in you. Where am I? So ultimately, confessing your sin without dealing with your sin, it will destroy you and destroy those who are close to you. Because if you have active sin going on and behaviors and you're not dealing with it, it doesn't just mess you up. It messes up your kids if you're married and have kids. It messes up your partner. It messes up other relationships simply because you are scared. And that's really what it comes down to. We're scared to deal with things. Now, let's ask that really, really difficult question. Is there any sin that God cannot forgive? And the answer is yes. The Bible's very clear on this. There's only one sin, and it's not suicide. Okay? There's only one sin God can't forgive, and that's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I didn't put the verse down, but it's there in your notes, Mark 3, verses 28 through 30. And it's very simply rejecting the Spirit's witness to Jesus being sent from God to deliver you from sin. So basically, you're rejecting the Spirit, you're rejecting Christ, and God can't help you until you turn your heart around and accept Christ. That's the only one where you're absolutely refusing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because that's God's only solution for our sin. Now, somebody will say, but Jack, wait a second. You don't know what I've done in my life. How bad I am. Well, first of all, I don't want to know. None of my business. But you're not paying attention to the Word. See, that's really where we get in trouble. The more in depth we get in studying about forgiveness is we're making decisions based upon our feelings, based upon what we've thought over periods of times, or what other people have said, and not upon the Word of God. Now listen to what the Word says. But our high priest, in Hebrews 10, our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for how long? A single sacrifice for sins for all time. And then he sat down in the place and honor at God's right hand side. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered for sins, once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Psalms 103. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now that we have airplanes and satellites and all that kind of thing, we actually know the distance. But it basically says, God has no reason not to forgive you. Why? Because of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. That one sacrifice applies to all persons for all times, forever. You say, well, no, wait. You just don't really understand what I've done. So what you're really saying is, God failed. Oh, I would never say that. Yes, you are, as a matter of fact. What it's really about is you're not willing to forgive yourself and you're applying it to God. Listen to this. You got to get this down. It is not the size of the sin that determines forgiveness. It is the size of the atoning sacrifice of Christ. I wish I could tell you I made that up. I stole it. That was good. I wanted it down. It is not the size of the sin that determines forgiveness. It is the size of the atoning sacrifice of Christ. Yes, let's say you did something absolutely horrendous, and I agree with you, it should never happen, and you got to deal with it. Take it to God. But whether or not he can forgive you is all based upon whether or not you think Jesus dying on the cross for you is sufficient. You see, there's people say, well, yeah, it is for everybody else, but not for me. No, you've got to stand on faith in what the Bible says. Okay? Your emotions are taking you the wrong way. Your thought process is taking you the wrong way. You've got to stand on the Word and deal with the Word, and you've got to faith and trust the Word of God of what God wants to do in you. Now, if you want to say, well, God can't, then basically what you're saying is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because you are rejecting the Spirit's witness that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for all sins for all time. Ephesians 1:7. He is so rich in kindness and grace, and he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. And you got to answer this, true or false? True or false? It either is or it isn't. And if you're standing in Christ, you ought to be saying yes. Otherwise, you're fighting against God. You're becoming the enemy of God. That's how serious this stuff is. This is what God wants to do with you. Now, in the time that we have left, let's deal with that kind of thing that just messes everybody up. So what should my attitude be for those who have sinned against me? Okay, so I'm working on my sins with God, you know, but now somebody offends me, somebody has stolen from me, somebody has done something bad to me. What should my attitude be? Give you two things. One, there's those things you need to do simply because God said. Okay? I mean, they're just, any of you ever have a mom that said, do this? And you said, why? And she said, I said. No, I mean, why should I do it? Because I said. Now, you have to be a parent to really understand what that means. Is before you learn any more about the why, you need to obey. That's where we're starting. Ephesians 4. Now, this is to all believers. Get rid of, ditch, get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, wouldn't it just be great if you could just take that one verse and apply it to your marriage? Or your dating life? Or did you know that families fight? Did you know that? Just apply it to your family, you know, just the broader family. You see, we have this bitterness thing. Remember I told you earlier, you know, if somebody says a name, how you get upset? It's amazing how often that's family. Because they did this to me. No, I don't ever want to talk to them over there. Or you can be like some people I know, you have somebody who is an abuser in the relationship. Not the immediate family, but in the family structure. And they're trying to control everybody in the family. And it's like, God, would you just take lightning and zap that person? And it happens. And so the wisdom of God now says, wait a second. At this point, it's more about you than it is them. But you don't understand what they're doing. Well, God says, no, I'm dealing with them. But it's your sin against them now that I want to talk to you about. Because you've got to get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander and all types of evil behavior. You need to be tenderhearted. You need to be forgiving one another. Why? Because Jesus Christ forgave you as God's gift to your life. Because just as bad as they are, you are too. Well, I've never done that! Matthew 6. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Now, let's be clear about something. Remember, we already looked at 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, God's faithful and just, forgiving my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Okay, so this is not talking about salvation. This is talking about relationship between you and God. If you're in Christ and you're not forgiving somebody else, you're not going to be forgiven of the things you're currently doing. God's going to hold you like this until you deal with your stuff. In other words, he's not going to bless you. He's going to let you stew in your feelings, in your emotions, and keep on asking, are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? We can deal with this anytime that you want. But no. Our relationship is messed up because you won't let go of your bitterness and ugliness within you. So, God, that's not very nice. No, you see, God says, you know, in fact, is it here? Where did I do it? It'll be coming up. I've got other passages for you to read on this. If God took the time to forgive you, what he's saying is you ought to take the time to forgive others and find healing. Look at Colossians 3. And then this is sort of in between verses. Bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. What is the first response God wants you to have for somebody you're having a relational problem with? Take it to the cross and let go of it to him. Don't hold on to the bitterness. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And then a bunch of verses there. So you find background, more background information about it. Did you hear what God's saying? Because I said. Now, there's another reason for this, and that is forgiveness is, or excuse me, before I get there, let me say this. What we're learning is that forgiveness is the standard of the kingdom of God. If we're going to be walking in the kingdom, being a part of God's kingdom, that's the attitude, that's the behavior that we ought to have. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have somebody else, somebody yet in your life that you're having problems forgiving, give it time. They're there. Anyway, let's move on. By the way, forgiveness is not about having to trust an abuser. Let me just say that really quick. If you're in a relationship that's highly toxic, to forgive is one thing, but get safe. If you need to talk to me more about that later on, come get a hold of me. All right, second, number two. So because God said, number two is, because forgiving others will help you move on with your life. And this is just an amazing thing that even non-believers, in the counseling profession have recognized. If you don't forgive, it destroys you. Okay? Look at Luke 6. But if you are willing to listen, and I love that phrase. That's if you have King James, truly, truly, I say to you, or verily, verily, I say to you. That is, if you have ears, put them on and listen. I say, love your do good to those who bless those who. This is not going to make the top 10 in America, man. No, somebody does you dirty, you do them dirtier. But in the grace of the kingdom of God, it's pray for those who hurt for you. You are our behavior is to be different, not because we're super saints, but because we are loved. We know what it is to be loved and forgiven, and His grace. And God says, here, now share it. But the other side of that is, forgiving others allows you to release the pain and the negativity of holding on to a grudge. It improves your mental health, literally. It strengthens your relationships, ultimately enabling you to move forward in your life without being burdened by your past. And I meet so many people that because this happened back here, I'm stuck today. Literally cannot move on, and I cannot experience, I am not experiencing the joy of Christ simply because I can't let go of this. Essentially, forgiveness then becomes a gift that you give yourself by letting go of the resentment and the bitterness. Now, forgiveness, for, means before, and then give. To give before somebody deserves it. And what I do is I just did the same thing I did when I came to know Jesus, and I just gave my sin to the cross. And so I say, hey, God, there's this person. And it just totally hurts. And I just got to give you all the stuff they've done to me and all the stuff they've said to me. You know, I don't know about you, but the people that have hurt me most in my life have been believers, not non-believers. And they'd probably say the same thing about me. But anyway, let's move on. Let's see what it does. Go on to the next slide. Forgiving others sets you free from bondage that Satan wants to keep you in. See, because what I do is I just take their guilt and all that they've done to me. I take the emotional baggage and I just take it and I just place it on the cross. I say, God, here, and just turn your hands upside down, let go of it. And anytime it comes up, no, God, I just give it to you. Anytime the emotion comes back, no, I gave it to God. You might have to do this for years. Anytime it comes up, no, I give it to the cross. Why? Because Jesus, you forgave me. What I'm going to do is that Jesus, I'm going to ask you to collect from them. I'm not going to try to collect anymore. I believe that you handle all justice, God. And I'm going to let go of justice. Here, I give it to you. Because I want to be free from it. I want to be able to move in the world without this junk that I have. I want to be set free. It helps you move forward with your life. You no longer have to be stuck because this happened. You can actually enjoy the bounty that Jesus has before you because you gave it to the cross. See, Jack, that just doesn't make sense. If I let go of it, they're going to get away with it. That's the way we think. We want justice. And there's no justice by giving it to the cross in our minds. See, they get to continue hurting people, and nobody ever says anything. Got to collect. I promise you. You know what could be worse? You could be them. Broken people hurt people. It begins your healing process. It allows the Spirit of God to begin moving in your life. It removes the anger and the malice from your heart, which completes the scripture. And I'm actually able to live my life with joy. I'm actually able to enter into relationships without having to be afraid of what's going to happen next because I know God's got me. Because I've already given it all to Him. You're no longer giving someone else authority over your heart and your mind. Because you see, when you constantly are thinking about this person and what they said and what they've done, that person now rules over your life. You're doing more damage to yourself because you're giving them permission to rule. No, I have one Lord. I don't need more. And I give it to Him, I let Him collect. Scripture tells us that you will have peace of mind, peace within your heart. You will have the power to forgive because the Holy Spirit will begin working in your life. Forgiveness, I love this one, I had to put it in there. Forgiveness is the best revenge. elsewhere, Jesus said, and I didn't put it right up there, because when you do good to those that want to hurt you, you heap coals upon their head because they can't stand the fact that you're nice to them and you've forgiven them and you want to do good things for them. My sin nature threw that one in. Okay, but it's there. Forgiveness is one of life's greatest teachers. It actually matures me. And forgiveness helps us release the victim mentality, because I'm no longer subject to them. I'm free in Christ. Now, let me just add two quick things. We'll wrap it up. Don't confuse in this forgiveness issue, don't confuse forgiveness with reconciliation. Okay? Forgiveness is external. Is internal. Reconciliation is external. In forgiveness, it requires nothing from the person that we're forgiving. They don't even have to know that we're forgiving them. It's about releasing from myself the burden of negativity, and it's primarily for your own emotional and spiritual well-being and in your relationship with God. It's what I do in my heart. Reconciliation takes a lot more work. Reconciliation is external. It's between the two people or family, however it works. Reconciliation requires that the offender confesses. Might want to circle that word in your notes. Confesses that they have wounded you. Reconciliation requires the offender to demonstrate remorse. If they're not going to confess and they're not demonstrating remorse, no, I'm not going to have a close relationship with you. I don't have to be angry at you. I don't have to think bad things about you. But man, I am not going to let you do more damage to me. You can set boundaries. Boundaries are good, by the way. I believe in boundaries. Okay, that's where you want to be. Okay. But no. Reconciliation requires repentance. There can be no reconciliation without repentance and without remorse. Get a hold of that. It also requires the rebuilding of trust. Even then, he or she or whoever that abuser is can not dictate the terms of the reconciliation. It's about what is going to be healthy for the relationship. So if you need more help with that, talk to me later. Okay, give me a call. I'm easy to get a hold of. And we can sit down and we can talk about it, because these are really big things. But what I really want you to hear is how much God wants to do in your life. So let me just ask you real quick. You need to have a talk with God about some stuff. So what we're going to do is we're going to have our closing song. And if you want to come up here and just talk with God about it, I invite you to come. There's some things you need to deal with. You need to get honest about with God in your own life. Maybe it's about a relationship with somebody else, and you got to get honest about it. You got to deal with it. Now, if you don't want to come, don't come. I mean, you don't have to do it here. You can do it there. We're just giving you the opportunity. Father God, do what you will in us. But Father, let our hearts be open and clear before you, and to release the junk and no longer be bound by it. In Jesus' name, amen.